Luke chapter 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask you to bless our Sunday school hour. Conform us more to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. All right. Luke 14. The Lord's taking a journey from the province of Perea. He's heading towards Bethany. Been invited to the house of a Pharisee. And while he's there, he, on the Sabbath, heals a man with dropsy. That was 14 verses 1 through 6. He, in perceiving the hypocrisy of the Pharisee and its pride, he shares with those in attendance the parable of the wedding feast. And as he does so, he emphasized that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Luke 14, verses 7 through 11. And then, speaking directly to the Pharisee concerning his pride and his lust, he instructs him as to whom he should not invite and who he should invite to his feast if he really wants to be blessed. And he encourages them to minister to those who are unable to recompense him in any way. And then he would be rewarded at the resurrection of the just. That was chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. So now we begin this morning at verse 15. Luke 14, verse 15. And our first question is simply this: who speaks now to Jesus? And the first part of verse 15 says this: and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said. So all we're told is that he was one of those who were in attendance. Now, as you look at this, let's see what he says, okay? What's he say to Jesus? Last part of verse 15. He said to him, "Oh, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, what does it appear that this individual might be trying to do concerning the conversation? Lord, he's been instructing who this one should invite, who he should invite. Invite, the poor, those who can't recompense back. And it almost seems that this particular individual wants to do what with the conversation? Change the direction of it? Have you ever been in a situation when things are being said that you're just not that comfortable with it? So what do you try to do? Want to change the topic, want to change the direction of the conversation. Now, what do you think this one is assuming? Even by his statement, "Oh, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." What's he saying? What's he indicating? What do you think he's indicating? What do you think he thinks about his own position? Yeah, he's going to be one of those. He's going to be one of those going to be in the kingdom. And now the Lord had just talked about how they're going to be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Well, he's saying, "Oh boy, that's, it truly, blessed is he that's going to eat bread in the kingdom of God." And assuming that he is indeed one of them. And notice what Jesus says to him concerning a certain man, verse 16. "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many." Now, this is going to be the first of two invitations. From what I understood, my reading is that generally they would early send out a pronouncement of invitation, come, and then when everything was prepared, they will send out a second one. Well, this is the first invitation that's being sent out. And but look at verse 17. "Who does the certain man send with a second invitation? And sent his servant at supper time. Everything is ready. Now he's sending out and letting everybody know, come, come, for the feast is ready. And by the way, look at top of page 2. What does the certain man have his servants say to all who were bidden? To say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. Come, for all things are ready. Now, question. What did all those who were bidden begin to do? Verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. I want you to see the three excuses that they gave for not accepting this invitation. The first said unto him, hey, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. All right, what smells fishy about this excuse, people? Yeah. Well, are you going to buy land that you haven't seen? Hello? He'd been out there examining it. You don't buy land unless you've already looked and looked at it. Well, the other said, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Oh, I pray thee have me excused. What smells fishy about this excuse? Same thing. Same thing. And another said, oh, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, there is a genuine excuse. Yeah, years and years. Okay, what were they all saying? They're all, you know, what were they all saying? They just don't want to go. They don't want to go. Now, I know none of us has ever tried to ever make an excuse for not going to someplace, right? Yeah. And you think back at some of the excuses that you used. Maybe they weren't quite as lame as these, but, you know, we've all done this, okay? But, so you say, well, what's groundwork here that the Lord is setting? Wow, a lot of them have been invited, but they've all made an excuse for not coming. What's he saying to this one? Oh, man, blessed is he. He's going to eat bread in the kingdom of God. What would you think at least one of the thoughts is that he's trying to impress upon this one? Huh? Anybody? Maybe there won't be as many as you think. There's a lot. Make up excuses for not coming. Look at verse 21. What did the servant do? So the servant, he came and he showed, he reported to his Lord these things. And how did the master of the house respond upon hearing of their excuses? Then the master of the house, being angry, obviously this is a righteous anger, at least in the eyes of the Lord. Now, where did the master send his servant? According to 21, last part. He said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Go out to the streets and lanes. We're talking about of the city. Any ideas? Who do you think the city might represent? Jerusalem, Israel, the Jews, all right? Go out, invite them, come in. Because no doubt the one that had made this statement, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God, was a Jew. And because there wouldn't have been any Gentiles in the house of the Pharisee. So these are Jews, and he's assuming, hey, my goodness, all Jews are going to enter into what? Kingdom. And the Lord says, you know what? Many, look at all these invitations going out. But many are going to make excuses. And he's referring to the Jews. Now, top of page 3. What did the master want his servant to bring? Who did the master want his servant to bring to the feast? And bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. So I ask you the question, what message was Jesus communicating to his listeners? Who was the man, remember, to invite? Not those who could recompense him, but those who couldn't recompense him. Remember back in verse 13, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. So he's right back to the same theme, isn't he? He's returned to what he's taught in verse 13. So they've gone out, and now he's saying, hey, who should we share the gospel message with, people? Everybody. But especially who does the Lord indicate here we should share the gospel message with? Yeah. The maimed, the halt, the blind, the poor. And why would that be? Who does the Lord say, it's very difficult for this one to enter into the kingdom of God? Man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for this particular individual to be saved. Who was that? Rich. Because the rich may well have a stronger propensity towards being proud. All right? Now, can the poor, the maimed, the lame, and blind, can they be proud, arrogant? Yes. Yes. But it may be that you might find more humble in that realm of society than in the higher class of society. So he's saying, hey, go out, minister to them. Look at verse 22. How did this servant answer his master? All right, he's told him to bring in the poor, maimed, halt, blind. And the servant said, it's done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. What's that tell you about the kingdom of God? There's room for more. There's room for more. Yeah, you went to the Jews. Now you're going to the maimed, the halt, the blind, there's yet more. There's yet more. Now, I ask you this question under verse 22. What do we learn about the servant in this verse? It's done as thou commanded. What do we learn about him? He's obedient. He's been obedient. When the Lord sent him out, how'd he went? First he went there and he come back, Lord, I've done what you said. There's still, get back out there. Okay, Lord, I'm back out. What did the Lord say to the servant? Oh, wait, what did we learn about the feast? We already said it. What we learned about the feast is that there's a lot of room at the feast. A lot of room. Now, what did the Lord say to his servant? Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. All right, now what do you think the highways and the hedges represent? We went into the lanes and into the streets, talked about what that represented, the Jewish nation. Now he's sending them out the highways and the hedges. What do you suppose that's going to be representing? Out to the Gentiles. And what kind of invitation did the servant give? Well, I give you the word compel. It's also translated constrain. I give you different references where you can find it. Compel them, constrain them to come in. You know, it's speaking in a kind of forceful way, isn't it? Now, you and I know that by wrestling someone to the ground and putting their arm behind their back, twisting a little bit, that's not the way a man gets saved or a woman gets saved. But the idea here is to speak with not only authority, but to speak with urgency. You know, compelling them to come, constraining them to come. Now, what was the final statement from the Lord, from the Master? For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So what's Jesus saying here? Who's not going to enter into the kingdom of God? Not going to taste my supper. Those who what? Yeah, those who found excuses for not coming. Not coming in this instant to who? Jesus. You don't come to Jesus? You don't partake of the supper. You don't partake of the kingdom of God. Jerusalem versus anywhere or elsewhere, and Jews versus the Gentiles is what we see here in this passage. The Lord is already beginning to show us that, yeah, he went first to the Jews, but the Jews, for the most part, are going to reject. And then we'll see, as the New Testament continues, Paul and the others, Peter, even himself, who was initially dealing with the Jews, they will all turn and seek to minister to the Gentiles. All right, now.
So that, the first is the leadership of the Jews?
Say that again?
The first part of the parable is the leadership of the Jews, and then go out to the cities to count the Jews, and then after that go out to the Gentiles?
Yes, I think he's moving out. And just like, you know, first in Jerusalem, then to Samaria, and then to the outermost parts of the world. Now, did we learn anything about our triune God in these verses? Well, we already know that Jesus, what was one of his methods of teaching? Using what? Parables or stories with a spiritual lesson, all right? What did we see about this one, the master, when others rejected his invitation? What was his response? And we know, can God be angry? Yeah, that's the nature of God. But his anger is always what? Always righteous. But certainly he can be angry. Our God. Here we see the second, if we're referring this master as to the Lord Jesus, as or could be God the Father, he has a spirit of anger. Now, what else do we see Jesus doing here? If we're referring, you know, the master to our Lord, we see that he is what? He's sending him forth, isn't he? What was this great commission that he gave to us, the 12? He said, oh, get out there, spread the word. Go into all the world. So we see him doing that. We see again the Lord's heart and compassion towards you. We continue, almost everyone we see that he has compassion towards who? Poor, maimed, lame, down and outers, if you will. Down and outers. What's his desire? What's the Lord's desire? We read it in Timothy. His desire is that all might be saved. That's his desire. Here we see his desire is that what? What was his desire? Keep sending the servant out. His desire is, man, fill up. Fill up the feast. Fill up the kingdom of God. There's still more room. Come on, go get them. And who will look at the last verse? What do we study here today? I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Who does the Lord reject? Those who what? Reject him. That's who the Lord rejects. He rejects those who reject him. And of course, this is the premier lesson that he's trying to teach all the way through here. You know, you think the one is blessed to be in the kingdom of God, but you're going to reject me. Just as you reject me, guess what? I'm going to reject you. All right, did we learn anything about mankind in these verses? Many believe what? Even though it's not true. Blessed are those who enter into the kingdom of God. Many believe what? What do they believe about heaven? Everybody's going. Well, yeah. Why? Well, because my good outweighs my bad. As long as my good outweighs my bad. And look how good I've done. So, I mean, now you'll hear some, but even those who say it, I'm going right straight to hell, hallelujah. I'm wondering, even with those who just verbalize that, if they really mean it. If they don't, inside them thinking, I'm just as well off as the other one. But that's true. Many believe they're going to be in, you know, the kingdom. Well, we see this. Many are going to, when you go out and invite them to come to Jesus, many are going to make what? They're going to make excuses. So should we be shocked when someone comes up with an excuse and the excuse they come up with may sound as silly as one of these excuses? Most likely, the first time that you were invited to come to Jesus, you had an excuse. You know? Second time, you might even have another excuse. I mean, thank God, you know, that we had a lot of invitations. I know I did. Because I didn't accept the first invitation. They sent on a second, and in my case, it was the third, the fourth, the fifth. You know, thank God. Now, what we do here, we see some who will faithfully serve the Lord by doing what? By doing what? Some are going to faithfully serve the Lord by doing what? Spreading the word, giving the invitation. Extending the invitation to come. Come, be a partaker of the kingdom of God. Blessed is he who shall eat in the kingdom. Come to the feast. You know? Easy work for the servant? A lot of success for the servant? So, all right, now let's get down to the nitty-gritty here this morning. Okay, we read this story. It's a nice, enjoying story. We've all read it before. We've looked at these excuses, and we've talked about them different times. But all right, how might these verses change our behavior? What might we purpose? What might be a purpose for us to do as a result of reading down through this passage today? Probably the first purpose we ought to do is make sure that we've done what? First purpose is I'm a purpose that I have what? I've accepted the invitation. That's the first thing I need to do. I've accepted this invitation. All right, so now you know that you've accepted it. Did you know you're part of the kingdom of God? And now you're a servant of your master. What might be another purpose? To continue inviting, even if they reject.
That's the hardest
part. Amen. And it may be if they reject you, you turn what? Go, all right, I'm going out here to the hedges and the byways. I'll keep looking. I've done that. There's still room. Okay, well, I'll go over here. So don't be stifled in going because of rejection. There's going to be a lot of rejection. Your admonition here is, okay, go. I'll look here. I'll look there. I'll go some other place. Any other purposes?
I have one, but I don't know if you're going to understand.
Well, what
I'm saying. Okay. This is what I learned. Man is stubborn. Mm-hmm. God is patient.
Yeah.
My purpose is not to be stubborn, but to be patient and to be loving like you are.
That's good.
I'm doing good that, for myself.
That's good. All right. That's good. And another purpose I had down here, I purpose to expect many to have an excuse for not coming to Christ, not coming to the kingdom of God. You know, those things, those are just some practical applications that you and I can make as we look at that and say, all right, okay, first myself, now I need to go out, and as I'm going out, I should expect a lot of rejection. And so, anybody else? Somebody else with a thought or an illustration, example? Anybody? Somebody?
Can you take a question?
Sure. That's probably the biggest thing, is that wherever we go, wherever we're sent, keep inviting different individuals, family, friends, because normally those are going to be the ones that are most, you know. And what happens when the church gets our old and we get this old, many of the individuals we have already invited and they've already rejected. Now, we've got to be mindful enough to recognize, well, the Lord's going to bring others across my path, whether I'm at a store, whether I'm here, and maybe just to give an invitation, take a track. That's why I'm trying this, the thing with the mailing, where I'm trying to find people who would actually want me to come in their home, where I'm not just wasting a lot of time, but I want to find, so I'm sending that out, looking, I want to be invited to your home, and I want to come to your home. Now, we've sent out 3,000 up to this point. We only got a couple of responses, but I'm still purposing. I'm going to send out some more invitations. And maybe it's just down in the city of Cohoes, because I've been down there in the city of Cohoes before. And there's certain areas where it's almost like the Lord has said, you know, and so but I started, as I told you, we started here at the closest of the church, and we're spreading out. So I'm thinking maybe as we spread out, maybe get out to some different areas out of the city, that the gospel would be more receptive. I don't know, but that's what I'm trying to do. And, you know, I had my path across a Trent and I were golfing on Friday, so we had two guys join us, and so I had a chance to invite them out. And they both know right where the church is at and so forth. And so, you know, invited them to come. And now, I don't know if we'll see them here this morning or not, but I would just, you know, keep inviting. And now, they didn't come up with any particular excuse for not coming, but, you know, maybe in their mind and heart, they've already got one. You understand that? People may not express them to us, but they've got them. And so, but, you know, we just got to look for people to invite and trust that there's somebody's going to, you know, be coming. Now, and I think as we look at this, we're going to see, wow, okay, because this is, our days are not getting any easier. And it's getting tougher. I talked to a fella about a pastor about coming here, and talked to him this week. And but it might be going with down and working with Ashish. Remember, Ashish was just with us, so he's a good friend of Ashish, and I think they're going down there. And I talked to him, and he was sharing with me. I've been a lot, you know, because he was in different churches. He says, they're just, it's tough right now because there aren't any churches that are looking for, you know, a strong teaching on salvation and that of separation, you know, practicing separation. So those two dogmas, and I perceived from the very beginning that those are going to be the two toughest things, the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of separation, that would separate this church from many other churches, and it still has. And
salvation is predestination.
Yeah. And because, you know, others of it end up ultimately by some kind of salvation by works. Now they won't admit that. They'll tell you our salvation is by grace. But if you press them theologically, you'll find out that they do not really believe in total depravity. If you don't believe in total depravity, then you are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, and when you talk about total depravity, it means one's total inability to come unless God draws you. So, all right, well, listen, that was a good conversation. And let's thank the Lord again. Boy, Heavenly Father, we are thanking you. Just for the lessons that you've given to us through the life and lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would pray that you would give us more opportunities to invite others to come to the feast there that will be in the kingdom of God. And I pray that many would hear and accept the invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.